And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the holidays. Each of my guests is helping us focus on a particular holiday, whether it's Christmas, Veterans Day, or New Year's Day. My next guest will help us celebrate Veterans Day. He's a war hero from World War II who single-handedly saved the Leaning Tower of Pisa and won the Bronze Star and Legion of Merit for his service to the United States. We'll discuss the Italian campaign in World War II from his book, 200,000 Heroes. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question for my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Leanne Weckstein was born in New York City in 1921. He graduated from high school out here in Los Angeles, and he was drafted into the Army, where he served until his discharge in October of 1945. He's the author of two books about his experiences in World War II's Italian campaign. In his military career, Leanne has received the highly esteemed Legion of Merit, the Bronze Star, the Italian Cross of Valor, Poland's Bronze Cross of Merit, and also Pisa's Silver Medallion. Leon was 90 years old when he completed his latest memoir, 200,000 Heroes. He lives right here in Ventura County in Thousand Oaks, and he enjoys the pleasure he shares with staying with his family. Hi, Leon. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And on behalf of all of my listeners, thank you for your service to our country. I think that it is just remarkable.
All the wonderful guys that served with me, and I miss the guys I had to leave there in the ground, unfortunately.
Yeah, so many people lost so many friends during that time. Now, Tom Brokaw dubbed your generation of Americans that lived through the Depression and World War II as the greatest generation. So as a member of that greatest generation, you stand out for what you accomplished as an infantryman. You were drafted to the Army. You served in the Italian campaign. So let's talk about what was your role during the Italian campaign.
My role was a very good one for me because it just made me use my eyes constantly rather than my weapons. And I had to direct artillery fire, mortar fire, against enemy positions near the front line. And this was a daily occurrence while we were in battle and never missed a day.
All right. So you were a forward observer. And at that time in the Italian campaign, Hitler had replaced the incompetent and the very disgruntled Italian army with his Wehrmacht and his Waffen-SS by the time you joined in the fight. So tell us about your experiences once you left basic training and entered into combat.
Experiences. So many of them, Bill. Basic training, about 30 days. Arriving in the rain, a heavy rain in Camp White, Oregon, in Medford, and doing a training for about a year and a quarter, basic training, and then off to Italy. We didn't know if we were going east or west, but we wound up ultimately in North Africa for about 2 months and then went into Italy just north of Rome. And actually, that's where I began to do my work, and it worked out very well for me and not too well for the Germans.
Very well said. Were you part of the Anzio Beach landing in Italy, or was that...
That was a little earlier. A little earlier.
All right, that's great. So now you're most recognized for single-handedly saving one of the world's great cultural icons, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So tell us the story of how this came about, and were you at risk when you had to stand up and against destroying the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Well, it's a 26-pager, but I'll try to consolidate it for you. The generals had decided that there was a possibility that the Germans were using the tower for an observation post, because we were getting an awful lot of artillery fire, and it seemed to be well-directed. I followed that with a report from my colonel to take my radio man, get as close as I could to the tower, which meant that I'd have to leave the main forces and head for about another mile right into the woods and through fields to see as close as I could get to the tower. Spent the time attempting to destroy not destroy it, but to observe it and to see if there are any motions up there, any shiny buttons, any movement at all in the tower. at which point I was directed, you know, previously directed to shell the tower, just call in fire, which we're already zeroed in on the tower. This lasted about 4 hours, and in the middle of September, it was very hot. I had been laying behind a log with my radio man, and the tower had begun to dance with the heat waves, which made it a little more difficult to observe. And then I suddenly saw myself getting overhead bursts of artillery, which meant they had seen my post, and they were directing their fire at me instead of vice versa. In any case, I called back headquarters, and I said, what do we do? Do we wait till it cools off, or do we stay here and do fire? And they said, the generals have decided now to save the tower, the leaning tower, so you don't have to do anything, just get your behind back.
Very good. So the generals had made the decision not to destroy the leaning tower of Pisa. How much of that was influenced by the earlier decisions to bomb the abbey at Monte Cassino earlier in an attempt to drive out some Germans that the generals believed were there, when in fact they had already evacuated the abbey days before the American forces arrived?
Well, I'm not sure of that entire situation, so it would be difficult for me to speak about that.
All right, fair enough. So you didn't have to actually make the decision yourself. You were never in jeopardy of getting court-martialed for your decision not to blow up the Tower of Pisa, were you?
No, I was never in that position, because I had already made a name for myself as an observer, and they depended on me generally for forward observation.
All right. My guest is Leon Weckstein. He's the author of the book 200,000 Heroes, Italian Partisans and the American OSS in World War II. That brings us to the title of your book, Leon. How did you come up with the title 200,000 Heroes?
It started out in Naples with the there's a time called the 4 Days of Naples, which any Neapolitan can tell you about, that is a history buff. And that's when the partisan group began to form into little groups of men, probably 3 here, 6 there. And ultimately, with another year and a half that I was there, they grew into an army of 200,000 and spent the last days with us in the mountains of Italy.
And what was the role of the partisans at that point in the war?
The role of the partisan was to covertly accomplish any sabotage they could, try to destroy as much of the enemy as they could, just like ours was, but they were doing it without uniform, sub rosa all the time, and placed themselves in extremely dangerous positions.
What would happen if a partisan was captured by the Germans trying to blow up a railhead or something of that nature?
Well, the torture and the questions that they were asked were very quickly handled, with a hook under the neck and hung from a post for the town or the village nearby to see, to avoid getting any more friends of theirs to come and help them.
Right, a vivid reminder of what happens to partisans if they go against the Germans, a very vivid reminder. So within the partisans, it wasn't just 200,000 men. Women had a role, too. So tell us the role that women played in the partisans, including your story about Angela the prostitute.
Well, at the beginning, the women it was a question mark whether the women could play a part. But they began to do that in a very serious way in Rome. And there were many of them suddenly came out and decided they wanted to help the men. And they did, as acting as partisans or acting as helpers to the partisans or carriers of information back and forth. And they did a marvelous job for that. As far as Angelina was concerned, Angelina, my protagonist in this was a friend I met during a rest break in Monte Catini. And in the discussions with her, I found that she had shacked up with a German major who was in charge of training German soldiers for the mountain that we would have to conquer. And she had, through a friend, contracted to get information if she could. And one phone conversation led to her last conversation that I remember, led to the fact that she caught the Germans off guard in the mountains where they were training the troops, and played a heck of a role in saving many of our lives.
Without a doubt. Now, Angelina is a native Italian. Were you speaking to her in English or in Italian?
Well, by that time I had learned to speak a pretty fair Italian. Not great, but good enough to make myself understood. And I could understand her as well. She was in about the same position I was. She knew a little English because she had been living with some fellows in Monte Capitani who were Americans. And that's how we communicated.
I see. Now, in France, women who collaborated by sleeping with Germans, either officers or even infantry people, had their heads shaved after the war for their participation in that act. In Italy, was it the same sort of retribution, and was Angelina doing this to avoid any stigma of collaborating with the Germans?
Yes, they did it in Italy as well, and she avoided it with her clever ways of handling the situations. She spent most of her time in bars and by making deals with bartenders, and her own little group of friends managed to stay out of trouble and retained her hair.
Which is a good thing. My guest is Leon Weckstein. We're talking about his latest book, 200,000 Heroes, about his experiences in World War II. Another fun story in the book is the story that you tell of a British submariner who became a partisan leader. Tell us that story, please.
Well, that was purely accidental. His submarine was sunk south in southern Italy near Naples, and he and his men were captured. And they were taken by train towards the north, where they ultimately wound up through one camp or another and into the mountainous area of Italy, in the Apennines. And he came into contact with a partisan group, and they were so glad to see somebody that knew a little bit about the military that they made him ultimately their leader. And that's the way he became very, very good at what he did. And his story is very interesting.
Without a doubt. Now, your subtitle of the book is Italian Partisans and the American OSS in World War II. OSS was the abbreviation for the Office of Strategic... I forget what it was, Office of Strategic Supply. Anyway, it was the forerunner of the CIA.
Just a little correction, Bill.
Yes?
It's Office of Strategic Services.
Thank you, Strategic Services. I couldn't get it out. Office of Strategic Services. That was headed up by, at that time, Wild Bill Donovan. How did you, as an infantry person, a forward observer, run into contact with the OSS?
I didn't run into the contact with them as well as I did with the partisans. I spent much time with the partisans. My buddy was a partisan, and he and I were close together for the war. But how did I get involved with the OSS was through reports and documents that they wrote.
Okay, so it was mostly secondary research that you did from the reports and so forth that they were provided.
That provided help to the partisans.
Got it. I understand.
Airdrops and supplies and so forth.
Yeah. All right. My guest is Leon Weckstein. Now, Leon, in addition to the danger of just fighting the Germans in day-to-day combat, did you ever fear capture by the Germans and what might happen to you if they took you prisoner?
Well, that was always on our mind, but we kind of slipped that by for the most part. We didn't think too much about becoming prisoners. We were more concerned about their mortars and their well-directed artillery shells.
Yes, that would be a more present danger, without a doubt. All right, taking a look at your book, The 200,000 Heroes, and the partisan forces that were in Italy, as you look back on that experience, what stands out in your mind as the most significant part of that portion of the Italian campaign?
Well, what stands out in my mind is how many lives they indirectly saved of our lives and the Allied forces. because they did the work behind the lines where we couldn't, and they created hell for the Germans and the fascist police, and there was a great to-do about the fascist police in this book that will surprise the reader, I think.
All right, that is great. What did you get, Leon, out of writing the book, 200,000 Heroes?
I've gotten, after 4 years of documentary work, in which I've had to have an Italian interpreter to help me with all the documents, some of the documents. It took about 4 years to get through the thing, and I was very pleased with it when I got through. I was very happy to have presented the partisans with a desire they had for something to be done for them in the way of publicity that they needed, since they had fallen very much in the background in Italy.
And you certainly brought their story to the foreground once again. My guest has been Leon Weckstein, author of the book, 200,000 Heroes, Italian Partisans, and the American OSS in World War II. Leon, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I'm trying to figure where they'd go on the Internet. I'm not an Internet bug, so I'm not quite sure where they would go, but I would suggest they needed the book, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or a good bookstore would be able to handle our desire to get the book and get the history from a book that they never knew.
There you go. That's a great place to do it. My guest has been Leon Weckstein. Leon, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.